Welcome to Starfleet Universal On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or if you want to actually join the chat, the best place to go actually is over on twitch.tv. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. Join us there. There's the most of the all the people these days are over on that channel. So you can join them in the chat room. And you also get to see my lovely face while you guys are talking. So, and of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's fine. My podcasting account is sfuoncall. That's, you can see, you know, what's the topic for the evening. And also, you know, when I post the YouTube videos, you know, the links to those YouTube videos. Also, if you want to, you can follow my personal account, that's Paul Franz. That's PAULFRNZ. There is no T in that. And also, just a warning, you know, that, you know, I'm proud to be a Catholic and O's fan. And also, I love tech. So I will, if I talk about anything, it's probably going to be one of those three subjects. And also, of course, my last account actually is Franz Games. If you want to follow me when it comes to what's happening at SFB Online, you know, what's happening with Starfleet Warlord, that kind of thing, go to Franz Games and you will find those announcements there. Moving on, of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. There's no real news from ADB this week, but there is a reminder that there are all kinds of free stuff that ADB has available for people to grab, download, and use while they're playing SFB or Federation Commander or Starfleet Battle Force or F&E. You know, all their games have additional material that you can download free from the website. I tell you the URL, but it wouldn't help you. The only reason I wouldn't say that wouldn't help you just because it's starfleetgames.com/sfb/sfin/index.shtml. There you will find different play aids for multiple things. And of course, a reminder, there is the first missions is also available on the website, which is basically a introduction into Federation Commander, which is free for downloading. It doesn't have all the rules, but it has enough of the rules so you get an idea of how the game's played. You know, you can play, actually, I don't know what, I'm pretty sure you can play like the Federation versus the Klingon, you know, which is the standard, you know, basic beginner's game. You should be able to do that with first missions. Of course, a reminder that ADB does have a Facebook page. Just look for Amarillo Design Bureau and you will find them. And of course, they have a Twitter account too, which is ADB INC, you know, ADB Incorporated, _Amarillo. So that is their Twitter account. So if you want to follow them, feel free. And of course, we have the SFB Online tournament going on, which is the Sapphire Star Tournament number 11. Round 2 is finally completed, so we just have the semifinals to go. We have one semifinal game to be completed before Spartan in the IC can fight either an Orion or a Lyran. So it should be an interesting final, I must admit, especially I would like to see the Lyran myself, because I'm pretty sure the INC could beat the Orion, but I think the Lyran will have that'll be a tough fight overall. And moving onward to the library, not much happening there. There's been no corrections this week and no additions for this week. So with that is the news for this week. Yes, I'm one of the Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's Barry Hey Barry.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. Now that I'm unmuted, I could say hello.
Yes, yeah, now no, you can say hello. And of course got Dave over here, which is fantastic. I'm also streaming live. Yes, live on twitch.tv. So anyone over there? Hello. At the moment, the only person I see is myself. So hopefully we'll get some more people in there. Probably Dave. Normally he joins over there. But anyway, onward and forward. I would like to go discuss a topic which is old. It's really old. And that is, Barry, did you ever do this? Did you ever play SAP via email? Okay. So you never got into the whole play by mail, play by email stuff.
No, I never did that.
Okay. That's fine.
No.
For
Like
those,
I know, totally ignorant of me, but.
no. That back in the day, when the internet first came into being, when there was no playing online, the closest thing you could do for when it comes to playing online, if assuming that you're not playing like NetHack on like a mainframe or something like that, what you'd be doing is you'd actually be doing email. You play campaigns and so forth via email, which was cool, or if you wanted to, you could post it on like CompuServe or something along those lines. And that was quite interesting. Sometimes there's some days I miss CompuServe. I miss the forums and those communities that they served very well. Obviously the internet, it has a much larger reach now. The problem is that some of those communities, they're lost. And of course, part of that is just has to do with technology itself. That people, back in the day when the internet first came into being, games were still pretty basic. When it comes to even computer games were very, very fairly basic in nature. They weren't what they are today, where you got these 3D real life graphics, and you can go shoot them up and things like that, or play real time, flying ships real time and things like that. That's not what you did. You played board games, you played card games, you played tactical board games, things like that, and you do it by hand, and you liked it. Yeah. Anyhow, just that much. Play the email was the first way that we actually could play the game with someone outside of our own region, without having, outside of our own community. Because I used to drive from like Westchester all the way to Bucks County to place SAP in person. I do that. Of course, we go to the Origins, for so many years. They used to move around the country. Actually, one year it actually was in Philadelphia itself at the convention center in Philadelphia, which kind of that was the coolest one. That was cool just because I was still new into it. I know John. I'm pretty sure John Stiff doesn't remember this, but I remember John Stiff and playing him. He was playing the Hydran, I was playing the Andromedan. I was flying around the outside the board the whole time, and he was on the inside just beating the pulp out of me as he's flying slower and just going basically another circle on the inside, so he could always keep his, front shield towards me. He always had his hellebores towards me, so I didn't survive very long. But also remember, this is also that's when the Andromeda actually had enough power to do that too. These days, it couldn't do the same thing.
No, it doesn't have that much power anymore.
But anyway, bringing it on back to play by email and play by mail. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because of if you're in the play by mail community, which is it's like SFB, it's small, you know, but there are those few, those happy few, that you know that remember and still play by mail or play by email these games that are still available. You know, and if you're in that community, there is a magazine called Suspense and Decision Magazine. The person who was publishing it for years is Charles Musteller. He stepped down, and John Capps will be taking over as of issue number 20 and into the future. Also, Charles will continue to administer playbymail.net, including the forums, wiki, and Facebook group. And I'm actually part of the Facebook group. That's how I know that I knew about the change of ownership of Suspense and Decision Magazine. Also, there's a blog, Suspense and Decision, suspense-and-decision.com, which will also be run by John Cass because it's associated with the magazine. And what that actually the magazine is mainly is a big, it's a big platform for advertising play by mail, for these different kinds of games that you could play. You know, some of them are RPG, some of them are like strategic level games, things like that, where you're doing this asynchronous play, which to me still makes sense to me. You know, good Lord, that's one thing that Starfleet Warlord is. Starfleet Warlord, if it's nothing else, it is asynchronous play. That is, you send in your orders. Sometime later, you'll get the results. But everyone can don't.
Right.
Everyone's not waiting on every. You're not waiting on the next line, next person in to take their turn. You all send in your turns all at the same time. And then in case and then they're and they are actually run as a group. And you all and everyone gets
Right.
the results of that turn all at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and that's asynchronous play at its core. And there's still people because as evident just by Starfleet Warlord, and then of course this magazine, which is still going, you know, and obviously John Capps, you know, and the email that I got says, some of you may remember John Capps from the early days of Play by Mail. He was the co-creator of Play by Mail game Galactac with David Church, and also acquired Midgard from Time Space Simulation and rewrote the game running Midgard on as both Delta Games and Talisman Games. More recently, John has retired to his full-time job and relaunched Midgard as the game Night Guild. Written from the ground up using modern code, it comes out on a 10-turn beta, comes out of a 10-turn beta process this summer with general availability to players. So basically, there's still John Capps, in this case, is still writing games for play by mail. I would hope they would at least do play by email. And that's one thing with Starfleet Warlord that was done many years ago, before even I took over, which was play. You know, the whole idea of electronic turns, and I'm not sure. Because what you would do back in the day with Starfleet Warlord is that you'd actually, for electronic turns, you'd actually you mail a physical disquette through the mail, and then
Oh my.
Hey, it worked. I forget if Bruce would send it back or not. I'm willing to bet he did. Oh yeah, I think the person would send their diskette to read the turns, then it would save the turns back on that diskette, and he'd send them both a printed copy. I'm not sure if he did this, if he said the printed copy and the diskette or just the diskette. But I know he would send the diskette back with the resultant turn. My guess is, and the more importantly, the aid files, he'd send them back on the diskette. So that, so there was actually the idea of electronic turns even before sending them via email or even online. You could do it through the mail. This is before, when you network your computers, you network them within your business, and there was no such thing as the internet. Because that's when I start when I started working there, the internet actually just came into existence. This was like 89. One reason I knew it existed because this was back in the day, and I'm not sure if you remember this Barry. Back in the day, you actually there was an email service where you would ask to get a file in multiple parts via multiple emails, to FTP a file from a location. So the only way to the only way you could get I had access to the internet. To the quote unquote internet was email. That was it. There was no web browsers. We didn't have access to the internet directly. We had a gateway that we added onto our email server, which then could send things out onto the internet.
Right.
Good old,
Well,
so.
obviously, I remember the days before the internet, but and I was using computers a lot back then.
What was your first computer?
My first computer was, and this is a brand you've never heard of. It was called Future Data, and my father was selling it, and it had an 8080 processor, twin 8-inch floppy drives, and 32K of RAM, and you had no, I'm sorry, no floppy drives. It was not that was a later computer. It had dual cassette tape drives. That was it. Cassette tape, yeah, dual cassette tape drives, 32K of RAM, and one of the cassettes had a basic program on it that took, and it was a very nice basic. But the basic took 26K of your 32K.
Understood.
But you also they also had an assembler for it if you wanted to write stuff.
Ah,
Or you
Franklin
could,
Ace.
obviously write in basic. It was I For what it was, obviously it was better than no computer, and I was in heaven with that one because it's like, oh my God, I've got an actual computer. How cool is that?
Oh, agreed, agreed, agreed.
That was like science fiction at that point.
The first computer I ever used
Little.
wasn't even mine. It was my brother's.
Well, this wasn't mine either because, as I said, my father was trying to sell them, And so he used to bring it home from work. That was his demo unit. He owned the company that he, that not the company that made it. He was the company that was selling. He owned the company that was trying to sell it.
Right.
And they were just a manufacturer's rep. And then my second computer was my Commodore PET.
Okay. Oh, wow. You got a PET.
Timer.
Damn.
Yeah, with 8K of RAM.
Yeah, I got my second computer was a Commodore 64 with 64Ks of RAM.
Yeah, that was a much later, much more sophisticated than the PET.
Oh, agreed, agreed. Oh, and by the way, Chris, yes, I actually, when I had an Apple II, I didn't own an Apple II. I used one at school, and I actually did play Aztec on it, which was cool.
I remember Aztec. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, on the Apple II, yeah.
Yeah. That...
And then there was Castle Wolfenstein. Remember that one?
Yep, I remember that one. Oh, I forgot the ladder game.
One of the guys at college had an Apple II, and he was getting his degree in computer graphics. Now this guy was blind from birth, actually blind from a few hours after birth.
Wow.
Major medical malpractice there. You know how when the babies are born, they throw silver nitrate into the eyes to protect them from going blind?
Yes.
Well, the nurse reached for the wrong bottle of stuff.
Holy cow.
And burned his eyes out. And he was blind. I mean, it was like the eyes were gone.
Damn.
I'm the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
John Mattioli, that was his name, and he was going in for computer graphics. And he played computer games, and he was really good at them, which was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen.
Well,
like, how's this blind guy? It's like that song, Deaf, Dumb, and Blind Kid played a mean pinball.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was this guy.
Yeah. I can imagine it, believe it or not. Special awareness and timing. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But yeah, my brother had an H8 with an H9. I forget if it had a whole 8K or not. Yeah, I think it had 8K in the basic. If you loaded up the basic interpreter, it took up 4K. I'm sure you remember this if you remember that, which is I forget what the magazine was called. It might have been called Basic something.
Byte?
No, it wasn't Byte.
Byte?
It was a catalog of basic programs which you could type in into the computer and it would be this.
There was a book, 101 Basic Computer Games was a book that you could type in.
Yep.
I bought that book. It was a huge book.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting because I...
It had like Wampus the Rat and Lunar Lander and a whole bunch of other ones.
Yep.
Yeah. But speaking, you remember Byte? Do you remember Chaos Manor?
Yes, from Byte Magazine. Yeah.
Yes.
But Jerry Purnell.
Yes, and it was written by Jerry Purnell.
Yep.
And in fact, I am currently rereading a book by Larry Niven and Jerry Purnell.
Which one?
Legacy of Heorot.
Okay.
Did you ever read that one?
No, I did not read that one.
Oh my God, that is. I just finished rereading it today, and other than he didn't quite get the computers right, but what the heck, he wrote the book in 1987. And okay, I can see that he might not get computers right 30 years in the future, but all the other stuff, the science, he got it, he nailed it. And this is kind of like it's the first extrasolar colony where they spent 100 years getting to this star system. So most of the entire crew was kept in cryo sleep. So basically it's a one-way trip. Hope that you can survive on the planet you end up at.
Mm-hmm.
You got this human colony, and they got the idea from this doctor of biology who said, "Oh, I've got an idea for an alien creature." Oh, it's good. Let's just say they eventually called them Grendels. If you're familiar with Beowulf and the Grendel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was very well done. And as I said, Jerry Purnell was one of the co-authors. It was Jerry Purnell, Larry Niven, and a guy by the name of Steve Barnes. And there were three other books they wrote in the series. There was Legacy of Heorot. There was a little novella, Blackwater Island. And then the second, and then really, that was like book 1.5. And then book two was called Beowulf's Stepchildren. And the third book is Beowulf's Children is really book two. And Starborn and Godsons is book three, which I have not read. That came out actually not too terribly long ago. I guess just before Jerry Purnell passed.
Yeah, that makes sense. Creative computing, damn. But yeah, Chris was mentioned that he read Footfall from Larry Niven and Jerry Purnell, and he also thought that Legacy of Heorot, it was great.
Yes. Yeah. You've read that too, eh?
I haven't. Chris did.
Or who read?
Chris. Chris Nunzi.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably pronounce that.
Yeah,
really
that's
poorly.
One of those classic books. It's a page turner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but anyway, getting back to play by email and play by mail. Obviously, it's still that's still a community focused around that. Now, that actually got me thinking about that. I know that these, sorry, folks, I have a new kitten. I just saw him I felt him at my feet, and he's at my feet. Hopefully he will not climb me at the moment. But anyway, I know that people, the current community is, this is the way I see the current community kind of the SFB and Federation Commander. One, there are people that are brand new, they've played the board game. At least when it comes to Federation Commander, possibly at SFB. There's those people that, they're happy with the board game, that's all they want to do. But those people who play the online version, from SFB Online or FedCom Online, and they really enjoy that, and they're used to playing the game on the computer, and they can't imagine ever playing it ever again as a board game, actual physical board game. And then you have the other people who used to play Starfleet Battles, or possibly even, maybe even used to play Federation Commander, but they've fallen away because they see all the new shinies, all the interactive games that these companies spend millions upon millions of dollars on to make them look really beautiful and really accessible to the generic people. Now, obviously, there's certain, that me and ADB can't compete with that kind of thing just because of the millions of dollars that are put into it.
Sure.
But so the question would be, when it comes to play by mail or even play by email, something a little bit more still electronic, but a little more asynchronous and have it so that people is not as interactive. It's actually it's a step it's almost a step back from playing on the board game the way today it's played, which is that there is no oh okay you can play plotted movement, but does anyone play plotted movement short of short of special scenarios where it's a requirement? Because I know there are, obviously there's certain that are, there is a requirement because of like there's a I have to double check on the supercomputer rules or not. I know that I'm pretty sure there was whether it's a scenario or a system that I want to say supercomputers are a possibility where they could outguess their opponents. So you basically you had to pre-plot your movement and actions. But I'm not 100% sure on that. And people can probably say, Paul, you're wrong. And I would, and it's and most probably you're right. Of course, it's always hard to prove a negative. Proving a positive or disproving a positive, you can do that. Disproving a negative, that's always much more difficult. But anyway, are there people that actually would be interested in that? Now, and here's always the gotcha in my mind when it comes to play by mail, play by email stuff. And that is that, for example, Starfleet Warlord, in theory, you can play it purely by email. And when you play it by email, again, you don't need special software. You just need your email client and you can send it back. And if you want to do it that way, you can, though you still have to do some, a little bit of special stuff when it comes to sending in your orders, because you have to somehow fill it, take the text file, modify the file, and then send it back. That'd be the simplest. But still, for the most part, it doesn't require any special software at all.
Right.
But so in my mind, it's playing by email, play by mail, either one would have to require that the formatting of what you get is very generic, it's very text heavy. They don't use a computer
Yeah, I hate
to
to say
what?
this, but yeah, it's getting past my bedtime.
Okay. Well,
All right.
You have a good
See you
night.
tomorrow, or see you next week.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. So. Okay, so Chris is just okay. Chris is mentioning he looked up the rule. Thank you for Chris for looking it up. And it says superintelligent computers do not require plotted movement according to G11.12. Movement, the computer ship moves last in order of precedence. If there's more than one computer ship, these move relative to each other within that order. So that the pre-plottedness doesn't exist in that category. I think it might have been a special scenario because Lord knows you could easily. I can imagine a special scenario when it comes to SFB to have to require one of the people to use pre-plotted movement. The whole idea of a ship, a ship that is actually, your opponent is able to time shift or something along those lines, has a special ability so that it's so far above you that you have to basically use pre-plotted movement, you know. But anyway, so the thing is with, play by email, play by mail, is that the formatting, the way I see it, the formatting has to be plain text. That's why, obviously, RPG lends itself to it greatly. Strategically, it's not as much. Obviously, as a resultant, you can get maps of what the result is. In addition to a report of what happened. And that's basically what Starfleet Warlord does. Though, even those maps, you have to require you to do a scan. And if you do a scan, then it will give you a sector map of what the sector looks like. Now, where the ships are on that map, you don't know. Though you can do a scan for the ships, and then the scan will be shown in textual form. It won't be shown on a map. Obviously, it'd be nice if it was shown on the map, but I don't think that'd be actually in theory that wouldn't be too hard to do. I'll think about that. Maybe I'll add that as a feature at some point. But anyhow, because the way I see it is that play by email, play by mail, you'd have to. You can't require a special program. Obviously, you could have a special program which could be an aid to it to help you make sure that the orders that you are entering in are valid and so forth like that. I think that's part of what the Starfleet Warlord aid was and still is to this day, which is it validates the orders that you are actually entering and you send. That includes the movement of the ships with the orders that the ships do, and then of course the miscellaneous and starbase orders, which you can do those. But the question, obviously, the important question, in addition to this, so that means that the great thing about the idea of play by email, where is this play by email? Simple. That doesn't require any special tools. You can play it directly on your phone without any other special software. Because Lord knows, come on, these days, people, if you don't think about this, you really need to remember to think about this. And that is every single piece of software that you download and install, you need to trust. And trust implicitly. There are certain things that you don't have to trust because of don't have access to it. For example, contact list. I've actually have WhatsApp, But my contact list, I have a whenever I need to log into WhatsApp, which is a rare thing, I have a special contact list that has two contacts in it. That's it. So that I can then connect with the two people that are on WhatsApp that I know of. But other than that, I have no one else. I don't share my contact list with anybody, which actually would be really, that's one thing I'm hoping that Apple will work on at some point, which is a limited contact list. Have it so that your contacts, you can share a limited number of contacts to each program. If you want to have a limited set, have a limited set. You know, because that's what I do. I like have a limit set. Okay, these are the people I want to contact in this in this program. Those are the ones I want to expose to that program. So I don't want to give them the whole, you know, graph, you know, relationship graph to who I know and how I have contacts for. And then, of course, then those that I'm connected in the big link. Because if my friends then share their contact lists, then okay, then those, you know, so the graph gets larger and larger and larger until you basically know who knows whom with very little effort, you know. So anyhow, so and because of that, if you just use your email program, which you have to trust anyway, that's the core trust right there, is that if you don't trust your email program, whether it's the one that's included on your phone or you decide to buy a third party, you're in trouble from the get-go. But if you can rely on just using the email program for playing the game, all the better. Because in that case, you know, there's no special software, nothing else. You're as protected as possibly could be. Now, so see that's part of the beauty of play by email or in play by mail, where you know, okay, the only thing you have to do is, in the case of play by mail, if you ever play Starfleet Warlord, basically you print out, you get, when back in the day when actually you. I used to send out email. I'm not sure if Shelly's still around. Shelly is one of those people that actually I would send out email, the actual mailings to, which is an interesting thing to do. I say that just because of it's timing is everything, you know. So, but you know, people, you send those orders in, and if you're, what you could do is when there's orders were sent out, then you write on the orders that the turns that came to you, you write down the results, you know, what you want to do, then you mail it back. Now, obviously, the great thing about play by email is that it's cheaper. It's free, basically. Short of you have to have an internet provider, which most people do have an internet provider. There are a few people that don't, because they don't need it. Though that alone gets scary in my mind, which is the push of society to require internet access. I think it's a awful thing. So, and you know, because we shouldn't be forced to do that, to be connected. Because Lord knows that, hey, the governments want you to be connected. They want it. They love it. The more information they can gather about you, the happier they are. But, you know, that's neither here nor there for tonight. So, but the key thing then is when it comes to ADB, the Starfleet universe and their games, other than Starfleet Warlord, which was designed for this, can you do the same thing for SFU games? I think you can. Now, when it comes to play by email, we do have an actual way of doing that for SFB. Federation Commander, same thing. And actually, if you adjust Federation Commander just a slight bit, And the thing is, you modify the slide, but it requires a third-party tool to allow you to enable this, which is the whole idea of secret and simultaneous orders. That's the gotcha for that. Now, obviously, that kind of thing can be set up for, you know, email, to do it via email or whatever. That, you know, the idea being that you set up a game and say, okay, these are the people that are involved in the game, and you have to wait for everyone who's involved to get an email from them, you know, which in theory you can do. Now, there's always difficult parts about administrating things like that, because then what happens if someone drops, you know, drops from the game, decides that, you know, either because they're in a bad position or they're bored of the game or whatever, you know, that they decide to quit, you know. And of course, and come on, normally when people quit something, they don't say, I quit. They ghost it. They ghost the service, because it's the easiest thing to do. You know, Lord knows, I had that issue with Starfleet Warlord, where I'll get the, now I have not had that lately. Those people that would ghost me to quote unquote end their participation in that game, they don't participate anymore. That's their own free will. They decided that they have not, you know, signed up for the latest game or whatever. But for those, I always, and I, every single time someone said, okay, I want to just drop out of the game. And I always appreciated when people would tell me that they want to drop out of the game, because I'd have the issue, the situations where people would ghost the game. I'd send an email that I sent a reminder to say, hey, you know, I first, you know, wait for their turns. Then if they didn't turns get in, I'd send a reminder. After three times of this, what I'd do is I'd send them, okay, are you still part of, you know, I tell them, I think it's after two. I say, you know, are you still want to be involved? And if I don't see a response by them by the third turn, if I don't get anything in by that, that's when I drop them by hand. I go, nope, they're dead. You know. So that kind of thing always becomes problematic. But because the question, this is always the gotcha when it comes to Starfleet battles, or FedCom, or anything other than when it comes to related to SFB, when it comes to the tactical board game, and that is that in the case of even Federation Commander, there is certain things that you're going to place your order in that need to be secret, because even Federation Commander has a part of it which is secret. You know, basically secret orders. You know, secret and simultaneous. That's what I was looking for. Secret and simultaneous, where you both say, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing, but you don't announce it what you're doing until after you both have basically submitted your orders. You know, and that's why. Normally, play by email requires a moderator of sorts. Whether it, in theory, it could be a computer. You know, in the basic sense, is it could be a computer. As I pointed out, just have it so that you have an email service, so that you would send those, you know, the people involved to the email service, and once that it got it, it could then send the turns out to everybody about, okay, what did they do? Now, obviously, the thing is, the big issue with that overall is that if you do that, then everyone involved has to basically run the orders, process the orders themselves. If you do it without an actual moderator to run the actual turns. That's why normally you want to run the actual turns, have a moderator actually run the actual turns, whether it's SFB or play by email. And I think there's still room for this, The question is, who can we draw in to play it? I understand that you can still, I think you can still get people that are just too busy to sit down on the board game. But, you know, there's something about either playing online against somebody or playing in person against somebody that, you know, that whole idea of community and interaction helps greatly, I think. So, which brings up, of course, another way of doing it. That is, forget play by email. And people have done this. And that is play by post. Not post office, as in post, as in like a forum where, you know, they would submit that. And so actually it was more of a community thing. People could see what's going on. In addition, you like still have that chattiness kind of thing going back and forth. And especially with things like Discord and so forth. Of course, the question I have is, can you have a Discord bot which could do the same thing? That is, you know, hold the orders until everyone's got their orders in and then send them out. Probably, you know, and would that give a better experience? I think overall, I think that might actually give a better experience because, you know, just because of it, you also have, since it's just a part of the asynchronous communication that you use, i.e. Discord or whatever chat room you use, you know, because I think Discord is good. Slack could be used. IRC, no, but because it IRC is one of those things that requires everybody to be online at the same time. Though obviously you could do the whole bot thing and so forth, but I don't think it lends itself to as much to a community because of invariably people, if they're playing by email or playing by mail, most probably they're not in the same time zone. So it makes it always hard to quote unquote meet up. So do I think that people could play by email? Yeah, I definitely do. Do I think that it's a viable gaming? I don't know. I really don't know. Because, as I said, the big question is, of those three parties I've identified, three types of players that I have identified tonight, are any of those, would any of those actually be or more likely to be interested in an asynchronous play? Maybe. Of any of them, if I'm thinking about it, and if there's anyone that I could possibly think of that might be interested more than others, my guess would be the ones who have played it in the past and have walked away from it. I think those were probably people that were more likely to be willing to do it because of the great thing about it would be that the amount of time. You could do it in fits and starts and so forth. But the one thing I think that it would require first, and this is one thing that's always the most difficult thing to do, which is a computer-based player. Because I think we've gotten into when it comes to gaming, that we are less overall, maybe it's just me, but I think less overall to take a chance to play against someone and, well, play the game that way, you know, and learn it that way. I think most people would prefer to be able to play the game via, you know, versus a electronic opponent, whether you know, basically a computer. Doesn't have to be super AI, but you know, obviously you want to be as good as possible. But so you can learn the rules, you can learn how to play, you can learn at least some basic tactics against people and feel comfortable about playing the game. I think that would be the first thing that would be necessary to do. You know, basically solo games. The whole idea of doing a solo game, you know, for Starfleet Warlord, I offer I guess there's one thing I really should post up. Ultra Starfleet. Oh, interesting. Sorry, got sidetracked. Where was I? I'm sorry. But anyway, you know, you get that the solo experience first that makes sure people feel comfortable. And with that, then I think they can go forward and go, okay, you know, now I feel like I'm ready for a matchup. Oh, another Starfleet Warlord. That is, I let people do learner games. It's a small, you know, 3x3 galaxy. And I'll let people play the game, learn the game. And it is free. I don't advertise it on the website, which in my mind, I think that's probably a bad thing. And now I'm thinking about it. I probably should put it up there this is what I should do when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, when it comes to that. And that is have people send me their email, you know, basically sign up for a free account. And the idea being is that then you send an email back saying, okay, you know, hello, you know, here's the rules, you know, here's we have aids to help you play. Also, if you want to, you can offer a free game to play. And if you want to, just contact, you know, send an email off to here or do this or do that, you know, to sign up for a free learner's game. Now, what I'm hoping to do sometime in the future, and I've talked about this for so many years, I'm sure some of you are going, yeah, you'll do it sometime. And that is, you know, the whole idea of having this completely computer-based, so you can enter and your turns in on the computer, you know, on screen, and then, you know, online, and then hit submit. It would run the turn and then come back and say, okay, here's your results, and then have it so that you can download them and look at them later, or you can look at them then, or whatever. You know, the whole idea of being electronic and immediate. So people can more quickly learn, and the whole idea of being is that people can learn it, and also people that are got kicked out from the last game because they, you know, their corporation died. They lost, basically. They could actually play those while they can play the game while they're waiting for the next game to start. Because the games, you know, a new game doesn't start maybe for months. So, you know, that's what I think. That's one thing I know I need to add into Starfleet Warlord and the whole website things. I really need to work on that at some point. Sometimes I wish I had more time to do it all. You know, I wish I could quit my day job and just focus on that and have the time to do that. But, you know, the funny part, I've thought about that, and I'm not sure if I would be completely happy. If I had the money, maybe, you know. That's one of those really hard things to even imagine, is dropping everything that you know and trying something new, even if you had guaranteed pay, you know. Why are you so excited? So, anyhow, I think I'll wrap it up evening with that. Got to talk about play by email, play by mail. You know, obviously those people who of you out there who play by mail and know about Suspense and Decision. You know, and like that magazine, please read it. I'm hoping to get an advertisement in there, whether it's just an advertisement, because they said if you don't have an advertisement, you know, don't have an ad, just send like a logo, a game summary, a website link, and an email contact, and they'll put it in a quarter page box for your inclusion into the magazine. Because also they allow for, what is it? Please limit it as to quarter page, U.S. letter size, or smaller. So they want small ads. But if you don't have an ad, you know, they'll be more than happy to help advertise for another play by email game. So if you're interested, go to, you know, place to go is the blog at suspense-and-decision.com. Go there and enjoy that. Got to talk about old times with old computers. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.